Hi, this is Mike Dettillier, and you are listening to Flourish Truly with Tina and Georgette.
Live from New Orleans, home of good food, good music, and tons of fun, this is Tina and Georgette with Flourish Truly. Hello, my friend. Happy, wonderful Wednesday. How are you doing today?
Yeah, hey, buddy. I'm doing very well. Some outrageous weather last night, but winter is making its triumphant return today. Otherwise, I'm doing well.
Wow, we are in the midst of spring for being almost the end of February, and it is absolutely beautiful. We've had some gorgeous weather. My sinuses will disagree with me, but I'm super excited today, not only because we have great weather, because we have a wonderful guest on with us today who I'm so excited to chat with for so many reasons. She's somebody I followed online for a while. She is a woman in media. She's been doing this with ESPN Radio for over 20 years. She also is an incredible baker, which I'm totally jealous over. Her cookie recipes constantly make me drool. Christine Lisi, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hey, Tina. Hi, Georgia. It's good to be with you girls. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining us. So I want to just jump into your phenomenal career over 20 years in radio. I want our little listeners that are sitting here at home right now thinking this is something they want to do. How did you fall into it? And what are some of your most or favorite people you've interviewed or things that you're looking back on your career that you want to tell people about?
I kind of decided real early. I was pretty young when I decided that I wanted to do either news or sports. Like I was probably 7 or 8 years old. And that's also when I fell in love with like the Bills and the Sabres. And, that's kind of where my love for sports started. I went to a state school in New York. It's part of the SUNY system, Geneseo. And I worked, I was a communications major. I worked at the TV and radio stations all 4 years. So, doing that is pretty important because you kind of get a handle of like what it's like to work in a newsroom and you work with people and you read off a teleprompter and kind of get a new sense of what's important. After college, I worked at a local public station in my hometown. And I worked at a local radio station as well. And the neat thing about working local is that you get to do so many neat things like anchoring, writing, producing, writing commercials. They sent me to Bill's training camp a couple of times when I was in college and then out of college as well, which was a lot of fun. I got to ESPN in 1995 as a production assistant on the TV side. I did that for 4 years. I worked on the hockey show NHL Tonight, which was awesome. I left to work in, I worked in like Hartford and Springfield doing like news, and then ESPN Radio hired me part-time in 2000, and I've been here ever since.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible. I know you've done so much through your career. You've met so many people, and I know it's probably hard to kind of pinpoint the one particular thing, but like what is like one of the best moments or most memorable moments you've had in your career so far?
I have to say, like, even though I'm a Bills fan, it was funny. This was a while back when he worked for us. I'm walking down the hallway, and the way we're set up in radio, you have to come down here, like, for a purpose or you're lost because of where we're located on campus. So it's pretty funny. So I hear, excuse me, and I turn around, and it's Jerry Rice. And I was like, I think I might have said, oh, my God, because I had never met him, seen him before. And he was lost. And so he was asking me how to find him. I probably wasn't very calm or cool at that point, which is kind of funny, but he was so nice. And so I think I found somebody else who was a 49ers fan, and he was equally excited to try to help him get to where he needed to be. Like that was pretty cool. Just some of the people that they bring in, like Jim Kelly's been here a couple times. So as a Bills fan, that's like a big thrill for me. Hugh Jackman, the actor, was in here once, which was pretty nice to look at him through the...
He's pretty. He's bad.
Yeah, he's not bad to look at.
No, not at all.
It's kind of funny because like I've missed times when like Wayne Gretzky's been here, or, you know, LeBron James, when the This Is SportsCenter commercials, when they used to shoot those. I was never here on those days for work, so you miss out on that. But walked by once they were shooting one. Matt Stafford was here, so that was kind of cool. It's a really neat place to work, a really fun place to work, like, because you never know who you might run into.
Yeah, I can imagine. And it's funny that you mentioned those SportsCenter commercials, because there's a famous one that every Mardi Gras gets brought up around Saints Twitter and social media. You know the one I'm talking about. It's Drew Brees, and the float is, I can't get by, it's too narrow. I love that commercial. It's classic. It fits so well here, but I love the fact that people still bring it back up every year for Mardi Gras, you know, when it's like 15 years old. And it just, like, for a second, it just brings you back to that time and that era when the Saints, like, just everything changed for us in that 06 season. So being from New Orleans, I love anything Mardi Gras related, but also following the Saints growing up around them, now covering the team, I like seeing that commercial. It's just, you know, kind of just, it's classic. It's a classic. I do. I love those commercials, but that is one for Saints fans, their favorite.
Yeah, that was awesome. Like, you mentioned it, like, I could not, it's like, he's so serious, and I don't know how, like, know. The other people aren't laughing who they're doing it, because it's just, it's funny. Like, they're all so good. There's another one I like. I don't know if you girls remember this one, but it was with Jay Harris, and he goes to get in the elevator, and the New Jersey Devils mascot is there. Yep. And he goes, going up? And he's like, no. And, you know, obviously he's going down to a place that's quite warm. And so Jay steps back and he's like, okay, I'll wait, or something like that. Like, they're so funny and so well done. It's just the, you know, the company that used to do them, I think they were called Beetlejuice out of New York City. They were so well done. And like the one with Drew was just like, that's like one of the iconic ones that we had.
Very, very funny. It is, like you said, iconic and a classic. So moving on from that awesome story, I would love for you to tell our listeners something that wants to get into media. Like, what is the best advice and like the one most important thing that they need to know? Because there's a lot of people nowadays that, you know, especially with blogging, with podcasts, there's just so many more avenues than there were years ago. So what would you tell somebody that's listening to this, and what advice would you give them?
I think it's different. Like, I'm a little bit older, so it might, I don't know if this will apply to people like now, but like, try to be able to do several things well, right? Like, a lot of people want to be on the air, and that's great. And that's important to hone that, you know, talent that you have, but it's also important to be able to write and to get your point across and to get it across succinctly, because sometimes you might have 10 minutes to make a point. Sometimes you might have 30 seconds. Answer, like, when you're trying to do something like, you know, who, what, when, where, why, how, when you try to answer a question, or for like an update person, like try to get those points across. Like, what would I want to know? Being able to produce, being able to do different things, like, you know, have a blog and have it and do it regularly, or have a podcast and do it regularly, to try to kind of, you know, get your reps in and get an audience and get people to kind of follow you. And hey, I'm on every Wednesday, or I release this blog every Tuesday, like, just so people can kind of, I want to see what they have to say. I think that's what, because if you're just like a one trick pony, that's a little harder to market. But if you can say, oh, I can do this, but I can also, you know, I can produce, and I can write, I can, you know, do features, all these kind of things. I think that would be my advice to people. That's the advice I give to people when they ask me, like, kids just graduating from college.
Totally agree with you. There's a lot of different avenues out there. There's so many different things that people can do. And I say, you know, if it's just starting a podcast, or, yep, you know, if you start your own blog, so it really doesn't matter where you start. It's just a matter of, you got to put in the work. Sometimes I'm up at 2 a.m. writing articles, but I wouldn't want to do anything else at all. I mean, this was my dream for so long. And I tell everybody as well, is just keep at it. Don't let anybody get you down. Take any opportunity you have, and just don't be afraid to be diverse in your skill set and learn the avenues. You may start in one and wind up in another.
You have to be willing to work nights and weekends, mm-hmm, and all that, you know, all that other kind of stuff too. It's not like, no, you have to,
it's not a 9 to 5.
Kind of put in the work, right?
I can vouch, mm-hmm, for that. Definitely not a 9 to 5.
No.
Like, the old saying is, if you doing what you love, you'll never work a day in your life. And it is the truth. I don't find this work at all. And it gets me the opportunity to meet wonderful people like you as well.
Thank you. You are very kind. Yeah, you do get to meet a lot of nice, hardworking people.
So I think I know the answer to this question, but I'm definitely going to ask it anyway. If you were not working for ESPN Radio and you weren't in media, what would you be wanting to do for a living?
I think I would want to be working with rescue animals somehow.
Okay, well then I was totally wrong. I thought you would want to be a baker, since you're so.
I do think about that too, but I think, like, if it was financially possible for me, I would like, mm-hmm, to be involved, like, with rescue groups. The baking thing, I know, I would like to have my own bakery, like, you know, have something in the house, but I think, like, the animal thing I would like.
I agree. Being a rescue mom, totally, in Georgia too, as well. I like with that. That would be absolutely amazing. There's a cause there, and there's awareness that needs to be brought to it. And I think that is an amazing thing. To own a rescue dog, it's just something different, because I feel like giving them a home and giving them a chance that they wouldn't have had. So, you know, being a rescue mom myself, that really warms my heart.
Yeah, I think they know that. Mm-hmm. You do that for them too, right? Like, I know that somebody did not believe me when I said that, but I'm like, I think I know, they know that you mm-hmm. took them from a place that wasn't very good, and you've mm-hmm. given them a really good life, and they are forever grateful for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think dogs know. I can't speak for cats because I've never had a cat. I'm not a cat person. It's not, I don't like cats, but I think dogs know. I do.
Yeah. I totally believe that. They're intuitive. Sometimes more than us.
Yes. Yes.
It's true. They say that you change their entire world when you do that. It might not be a big thing for you, but for them, you've changed their entire world and their entire life. And I 100% believe that they are grateful and they understand what you've done for them. And that's probably why they get with you in the way that is so tight. Like, they just, you're their person. I love it. I think it's so great that you would do rescue work. That's like my secret dream. I always wanted to have a big property with a bunch of acres so that I could have all the dogs that no one wants. They can come and stay at my house. So I think that's awesome. Christina,
like Best Friend Sanctuary in Utah does that.
Yes.
And then 100%. I think John Stewart and his wife mm-hmm. have some sort of sanctuary, I think. I'm not sure, mm-hmm. but I know they're mm-hmm. very involved in rescue dogs or rescue yeah. pets. And I think they have one too. Yeah.
Did you see him the other night over his three-legged pit bull? Oh my God.
Over Dipper.
I cried. Yeah, Dip. I cried. Oof. And to see him not even unabashedly on TV, just talking about he's a good yep. boy. And I cried my eyes out.
Yep. So, I did. Did you tweet him a picture? Because everybody's tweeting him a picture of their dogs.
Oh, I haven't.
I did that. I'm like, here's Gracie. We're very sorry.
Yes, I have, like, because all my dogs are rescued, so I'll have to send him one. But yeah, that was beautiful. Christine, I just wanted to ask you. So I grew up in Toronto and our feed was Buffalo. So I've known the Bills my whole life. And I know yep. you're a fan, like a fan. And so, and I know as a fan what you've gone through. And lived through the jokes as a Saints fan. But I think about the work that you do at ESPN and the fact that as a Bills fan, as deeply entrenched with the team as you are, how hard is it after the moments when things don't work out the way we thought they were gonna, that you then have to go on the air and talk about it? What does that feel like? And do you manage yourself through it, or do you just let your whole Bills fandom out? You don't care.
I do not let my fandom out. I will say the last five postseasons, being here on a Monday is not always on a Monday in late January is not always easy. You know, because I get to not only see it on, you know, the TV side, but I get to hear about it. A couple of the hosts who are friends of mine, they bring me on and we talk about it a little bit. But it's hard. I think I have loved them, you know, my whole life since I was seven. Mm-hmm. And I'm a Sabres fan, so I love them too. But for the Bills, it's on a much different level for me. And mm-hmm. I think, like most people can relate to this, I don't know what it's like not to be all in
right.
with them. Like mm-hmm. you girls probably would, you know, your teams too. Like, I don't know what it's like to not be all in. Like, people can say, oh, I'm going to give up. I'm like, I don't know how to do that. I've been mm-hmm. watching or listening to them on the radio my whole life. And like every Sunday in the fall and for a good part of the winter, I am all in. And I don't know how to get out. It's a little bit like the mob, I guess, right? Like you're in, mm-hmm. like you're in and you can't get out. So yeah. I always believe in, like, especially having Josh Allen, like we went 20 years between Jim Kelly and Josh Allen where we did not have a quarterback who I could say, I got faith in this guy to lead us to, you know, where we want to go. And Josh can do so many things that I'm still all in. It does stink and it hurts, but it's better than I remember when we were 4-12, 2-14, a lot of 6-10s. Like I remember those years, and you know what? None of it was fun. But now we can ride through the season, and it's like this season was a bit of more of a roller coaster than I'm used to. But you know, just to always think that, hey, we got a chance here. And from 6-6 to where we went, I'm like, I was proud of those guys. And if a couple different things happen in that Chiefs game, I don't see why we can't win that game.
100% agreed. I love that you're so passionate about them. And it's tough, right? Because your team goes through so many ups and downs, and you've seen the drought and you've heard the jokes. And to just stay strong and stay focused and stay with them, it's not as easy as people think sometimes. But the joy that you get out of watching them and seeing them succeed and seeing them have failures, it's just something, it's unmatched, I think. And so I just love that, you know, you're as in love with the Bills and you get it. And then you can still go on and do your job and be a professional. But you understand.
Those are long Mondays.
Oh, I bet. I can only imagine.
After our season ends, I'm like, those are some long days.
Totally agree. Yes. It's like there's so many parallels between the Saints and the Bills. I mean, first of all, the fans that I've met through the years, Bill's Mafia, so loyal, like you said.
They're amazing.
So devoted. I've learned through some of the fans and the ones that don't even live in like the New York area. I live actually in Tennessee and another one in Florida, like huge Bills fans. And they said, you know, because they're so entwined with their community and
yes.
they fought so hard to get where they are. And I said, yeah, it's more than football. It's like the same thing. Saints away from the city of New Orleans. I mean, they've just done so much through the years here, especially like me growing up in the city, you know, and I've seen what the Saints have done through the years. Like my entire life, I've been a part of this team. It's like you said, ride or die. Like this is your team for life. And the 3-13 seasons, you know, just missing the playoffs by a kick, you know, certain little things. Mm-hmm. It's a weird feeling. But then like you said, you know, Mondays suck. But then on Tuesday, it's like it's like the 24-hour rule that Cam Jordan always talks about. Tuesday, you just get right back up and new week, and let's focus on whoever we're playing on Sunday afternoon or Sunday night. So there's so much more than just football, but to get to the promised land, their fan base, I want it for them. I want them to experience it, especially because I remember what it was like. Like I said, that 09 season, you know, there was times like I was really nervous. I'm like, okay, we think everything's falling into place, but is it really? And then it all just came together in that February. And, you know, maybe we'll experience it again and maybe we won't, but at least I can say in my lifetime, I saw it, you know.
Yep. Especially after Katrina, that was important.
Mm-hmm. It was, you know, it was really, really hard. Now, like, I try not to dwell on that because it was so long ago. But I mean, there was times that we didn't know if this team was going to be here. There were so many big businesses leaving the city. I never, ever thought like New Orleans was ever going to be the same. I was looking at these corporate companies pulling out left and right. And how can we even talk about sustaining a football team when people are relocating and businesses are relocating? And, you know, you just never knew what's going to happen. And so for me to be in the Dome, the night of Dome coming, which was actually my first year as a season ticket holder as well. That game for me, and I tell everybody this repeatedly, yes, I was very happy that we won, but especially against the Falcons because they're a rival, but that game meant so much more to me personally than just football, because I knew walking in that Dome, like, hey, we've gotten through this and we're going to continue to get through it. Yep. And I tell everybody that, like, no matter what your city, like Tennessee dealt with floods years ago. And there's been so many things that happened in different cities throughout the country. It's like, you know, resiliency and the community just coming together, no matter who your sports franchise is, whether it's football, basketball, baseball, there's always more than just about the game. So I definitely understand where you're coming from with that.
I think when I think about the Bills Mafia, I think about a couple of things. The first is I went to a Saints game in Buffalo. Yeah, I always say it like that when we're the visitors. It's not a slam against the other team, but I went and saw the Saints play in Buffalo, and we drove there and we pulled into a parking lot near the stadium, and we disembarked from the vehicle, all five of us in our Saints gear, and we didn't realize it was an area that Bills Mafia did their tailgating. And so everybody turned and looked, and we were like, okay, we parked in the wrong spot. And I will tell you that multiple people invited us over to their tailgate to have a drink. They offered us food. They were so welcoming and warm. And I thought, well, where's the alleged Bills Mafia that is going to be rude to us when we're visiting for the game? They weren't there. They were welcoming in the stadium. It was an amazing experience. But then fast forward to when there was was all that snow and the stadium was full and the fans went and shoveled out the seats. Yeah. I just think that's amazing. Like, that's love for the game, but also for your team. And that's commitment. I just find that amazing. Like, that's commitment.
Totally. I said that. I was like, look, I love the Saints. We're not acclimated. We're not used to that kind of weather. I don't know if I could have done that. As much as I love this team, like, if I was a fan and I was in that stadium, mm-hmm. I don't know if I could do that. I don't know if I could handle it physically. So I can't get the backdrops for doing that.
That's Western New York right there, though. Like, if I can say, like, it's hard sometimes for people, it's hard to understand like the devotion of people to the devotion of Bills fans to the team because we haven't mm-hmm. won and there's been a lot of heartbreak. Like, I think like I grew up in it and my husband married into it. So he gets it. And, but I think like, and I just look at the 2022 season, like there was the top shooting and the team came to meet with the victims and that community, like our owner, Kim Pegula, had a stroke, like, mm-hmm. all this stuff. There were two snowstorms and like, you know, people still got the people who live near the Bills got those guys to the stadium so they could get to the airport so we could go play the Bears. And then DeMar Hamlin and then our play by play guy had a stroke. Like, you just see the community rally around that team. And like, and Georgette, what you were saying about you went to a game, like they, you know, I haven't been to a game in a long time just because of my schedule and a lot of stuff, but like they are very welcoming to people. Like, I know Steelers they fans are. Who went to that playoff game, a woman brought her son and like people were clearing the seat out for her son. And like, they were, you know, very kind. And I know that, you know, you want to win and everything. And I'm not saying all Bills fans are perfect to all visitors, but like, sure. I think that you have that there that, you know, I don't know. We're all in this like life or whatever, sports fandom, whatever. We're all in this like alone, but together, if that makes any sense. Like, you know, we're all like Bills fans and Saints fans too. Like, you're all over the country because people change and they change jobs and stuff. But like, that's the one neat thing about sports is that it kind of unifies you, you know, in that neat way for 3 hours or however many hours a game or match or whatever your sports fandom is.
Agreed. Those Bills fans, they took selfies with us. They were amazing. And that game was a blowout and they were still kind to us. And I was so impressed. And I said, whatever myths I've heard before, they're just that, because everybody today was amazing.
What year was that?
2017.
Okay.
Ooh. So yeah, it was great for us. Yeah. Great for us. But we had fun. And like I say, the Bills Mafia, amazing. It was great to watch the teams play. Like, everything about the experience, even being outside in November, freezing cold, I was like, this is amazing. Like, loved it.
That's before we had Josh.
Yes, it was. It was. I had a chance to see Josh play yet. He gives me a lot of joy for you guys. He really does.
My mother's from Schenectady, New York. So I've always heard about the weather and how like cold the winters are. And she would say, you know, I have to walk down the road to school and go here and go there. And she's like, you just don't know what cold is. And I'm like, no, I don't. Because like I said, it's February and we've been in the 70s and actually hit 80s one day. So I mad props to the fans for doing that. I think y'all have a very special fan base, just like very similar to the Saints. And at the end of the day, it is more than football. It is family. And, you know, I think everybody can appreciate that. Before we wrap, I want everybody to find out whether they follow you or they don't, your cookie recipes and your website, Cookies by Christine. How did you get into that? And where does your inspiration come from? Like I said, I mentioned earlier, I'm not a baker and I look at your recipes. I've attempted some of them. They were really good. Like, how did you get into all of this and your successful website? And, you know, what are some of your most favorite recipes that you love to make?
I think like I've always been a baker and a cook, like starting like with, you know, both my grandmothers and when I was little and like, you know, my mom and some aunts. So I've always been like, I've always loved to bake and it's always been fun for me. And I just was like, I think instead of people asking me for recipes, I think I just decided to start like doing this blog. I can't even remember when I started it. And it's, I don't make any money off of anything. Cause I don't know how to, I don't know how to monetize anything. I don't know how to do that, but I just like, whether I bake something for Rob, my husband, or for work or anything, I just put the recipe. And then if, you know, people want to try it, they can, you know, it's kind of an easier way to, for them to like, you know, kind of look at the recipe and see what they want to do. I don't really write very many stories with those. I know some people kind of like, oh, this is my life and this and that. My husband's like, oh my God, just give him the recipe. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he's like, people don't want to read all that crap. And I was like, well, maybe somebody does, but I don't really write, you know, too much stuff. I made like, oh, I made this for Ra's birthday or for my mom or my mother-in-law or whatever. And I think the thing that people seem to like it when I put like stuff in stuff, if that makes any sense. Like, yes, people like yes. it like when put a brownie in a cookie or an Oreo, I'm sorry, a brownie in a chocolate chip cookie or an Oreo in a chocolate chip cookie. People kind of like that stuff. So I like to do those because I can't decorate. And so, you know, those are pretty easy to make. I think that, like, you know, and I'm always like up. My husband will see something. He's like, hey, can you try this? And I'm like, sure. You know, he'll try to explain something he saw at a bakery. And I'm like, was it this or is it that? And he's like, you know, I think it's this. And then if I make it, he's like, no, that's not it. I'm like, well, I'll bring it to work then. So I don't know. I'm always like,
love you for that.
Yeah. He'll ask for like, can you make cookies, chocolate chip cookies? I'm like, sure. And then he'll have one and I bring the rest into work. So that's kind of how it works for us. It's funny.
Yes. And you have a recipe for blackout brownies, which is next on my list to try because I'm not a candy girl, but I love cake. And those brownies look very cake-like, which means they're rich and they're moist and they look delicious. Yes. And those are the ones. And I think you did it for like, it was a playoff game.
I think so. It might've been for the Steelers game, the Steelers playoff game this year, I think. Mm-hmm.
I saw them and I was like, okay, I put this aside. I was like, but that's the thing about cooking. You got to not be afraid to try things. Like,
that's yes. it.
People always ask me, like, because I'll post some of my pictures when I'm cooking different recipes, and especially like gumbos or sauces and things like that. You can't be afraid to experiment. You don't know what you like until you try it. So billion recipes out there for red gravy and spaghetti. There's a billion for gumbo. Don't put tomatoes in your gumbo, people. But there's a billion recipes out there for it. But it's like, you don't know, you know, like when you're trying something new, hey, is this going to work or not? So you experiment. So I think that's the key. Like, just don't be afraid. If you think this is going to be a good, try it. If it doesn't work, hey, the next time, don't do it.
Yep.
You know, it's a trial and error with cooking. Unless you're me and just can't bake.
You can. You'll be able to do it. Try that with your oven.
I am going to try that oven trick and I will definitely let you know. But Christine, before we wrap, thank you. It's been such a joy to have you on. I just admire everything that you've done through your radio career. And of course, like I said, your delicious recipes. Tell everybody where they can find you online if they want to see some of your work, hear you, and also try to attempt to bake some of those delicious recipes as well.
On Twitter, I'm at ESPN Christine. My blog is cookiesbychristine.com. And I'm also on Instagram and Facebook, Christine Lisi. And I think I'm on Threads, but I don't go on there very much. I think that's all I got. I'm on ESPN Radio Monday through Friday during the day. And please listen. I don't know. I had a lot of fun with you girls. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us. And thank you to all our listeners for joining us here on Floors Truly on our special Wednesday edition. I'm Tina at The Nola Girl on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And you can also catch us at Floors Truly Podcast on Instagram, Facebook. And Georgia, you can tell everybody where they can find you online as well.
You can find me on the Twitter at Georgie68. That's Georgie with two E's.
I hope everybody has a fabulous week. Enjoy this beautiful weather, and we will see you next week on Floors Truly.